God is an amazing God. Absolutely amazing God. We are so much aware of our own failures and shortcomings, and I think all of us share that experience. We all share that experience. And it makes us reluctant. We think now, hey, God's just found out something terrible about me. No, he hasn't found it out. He knew it before you ever did it, before he ever saved you, you know, before you ever lived. He knew the worst about you. Yes? We spend a lifetime discovering how sinful we are. You know the saying, I haven't used it for a long time, but the closer that you get to God, the less you sin. And that's true. But the closer you get to God, the more sinful you realize that you are. And that being the case, you tend to be reluctant to come to God. And as I was praying this morning, I said, well, God, now you told me I'm supposed to draw near. You said to you, that's a command. You told me to do it. Now, God wouldn't tell us to do something he didn't want us to do. So I said, you told us. And then I said, you know, God, your throne is a throne of grace. And the throne means that it's the place where we can go where God's favor reigns supreme over everything else. It reigns like a king. The favor of God reigns over our sin. It reigns over everything. Yes or no? It does. The throne of grace. Not just a fount of grace, it's a throne. It's the place where grace reigns supreme. To obtain mercy, to obtain compassion, and to find divine favor to help in time of need. And so we come to the Lord's table, and this is why we can do this. This is why that we can do this. It is absolutely amazing the freedom we have because of who Jesus is and because of what he did for us and because of the great heart of God toward us. I'm going to try to finish what I started the last time we sat around this table. We talked about the text in John's Gospel, the last several chapters, which are really the warmest and the most personal that you'll find in all the Bible, chapters 13 through 17 of the book of John, how God personally relates to us as individuals and to our needs, and how God is keenly aware of our frailties, of the fact that we'll go nowhere without him, that he is our only source of strength, he is our only source of joy, he is our only source of confidence. It's all in him. And the apostles were facing a future that was very, very bleak. Several times you read Matthew's gospel, time and again, he tells his disciples, he said, I'm going to be crucified. They're going to kill me. And he said it again, they're going to kill me. The Son of Man is going to die. And that's where Peter stuck his foot in his mouth. He said, no, Lord, no, this can. And Jesus said, you get behind me, Satan. It is going to happen. And so what we face in our world, what we face in our world is a world that has no hope unless God is in it somewhere and undertakes in it somewhere. Unless God's grace intervenes in our world, there's no hope in our world. It just isn't. And so the disciples were filled with uncertainty and turmoil. They knew one of them was going to betray Christ. They didn't know what the future would hold for them. How were they going to cope with what was coming? There are quite a few of us in this house today, and we're wondering, how in the world am I going to cope with my future? How will I make it? How can I? From where would they get their strength? I'm not strong enough. And where in the world are they going to do? What are they going to do without his physical presence? He was there in his humanity, physically present among them. And so our Lord just wonderfully dealt with them. I looked at this afresh and anew, and I thought, my word, most of us want a life of reigning and ruling as kings and queens, but God has called us to a life of servitude, servanthood. because that's what God did for us, our servant, yes? But we don't want to be servants. My dad used to say we got too many chiefs and not enough Indians. Everybody wants to be the top and nobody wants to be at the bottom. I waited 20 minutes at McDonald's for my hamburger one time this week. And the guy next to me, and he was looking and wondering. And I said, you know, the reason they're this long is they don't have enough help. And the reason they don't have enough help is nobody wants to do this kind of work. And I said, nobody appreciates the people that do this kind of work. We all want to be bosses. We don't want to be, you know, we all want to be at the top, not at the bottom. And Jesus said, the one that wants to be at the top, he's the chief servant of all. Yeah? And so he was teaching them lessons of life. You're not going to get anywhere in life if you're not willing to be a servant, live a life of servanthood. And he taught them the love factor, the love of God, their love for one another, his commandments, keeping them. Again, the exceptional statements in these texts. He says, just like the Father loves me. Now get this. How did the Father love the Son? Just like the Father loves the Son, I love you. And I don't need to pray the Father to love you because he already loves you. I don't need to ask him to love you. He loves you. And he was teaching them of their treasures. He talked about the vine and the branches. The way you're going to make it is you stay connected to me, abide in me. Let my word abide in you. Because if my word abides in you, you'll be in such a position that you will bear fruit. You'll be in such a position, if my word abides in you, you'll have the answers to your needs. You'll have what you need. You'll have the instructions you need. You'll know how to live. You know, the big problem with America today is everybody knows how to make a living and nobody knows how to live. Huh? Nobody knows how to live. And if you know how to make a living, you don't know how to live. You're in a mess. You're in a mess. He bestowed his peace on them. He talked about the wonderful place of the Holy Spirit of God. He is with you in me. He's in the Spirit of God was with them in the person of Christ. He said he's going to be in you. I'm going to go away, but the Spirit of God is going to come. He's another helper just like me. He's going to be with you forever. He bestowed his peace upon them and prayed on their behalf. And then he told them, this is the ultimate outcome. You guys are going to go through terrible days. But he said, this is going to be the outcome. Your grief is going to be turned into joy. The ultimate outcome. And so these are great, encouraging words. And all of this, we're gathering around the Lord's table here. None of this is true. None of this is possible apart from the work of the cross. This takes the sin quotient out to where God can do these things in our lives. This deals with our shortcomings and our failures and our faults. And it puts us in a position where God can bless us. In John 14, you had the certainty of an eternal home, a residence where God dwells. Oh, I like that. I want to take you home with me. I will come again. I'll return. Access to everything we need, the Spirit of God indwelling to help us and teach us. A work that will go in greater glory, greater works you will be doing. He foresaw Pentecost. They never had as many people converted, even during his life and ministry, at one time in one place as happened at Pentecost in one day. Jesus was physically in heaven that day, but the Spirit of God was mightily at work in his disciples that day. A very special personal abiding relationship with the Lord Jesus in John 15, abiding in his love, living with fullness of joy, confidence that we can ask for everything that we may need, a sense of divine appointment. Boy, do I covet this for all of you people, young and old, everybody here. Chosen, the sense that God has chosen us. And then secondly, God has appointed us. He's chosen us and he's appointed us. Every one of us. That's what gives us dignity in life. That's where we don't have self-worth. We have created and redeemed worth. Don't be looking around for self-worth. Look for redeemed and and created worth in your life. So chosen and appointed. And then today, as the deacons wait on us, we'll read from John 16 and John 17. In John 16, we'll read of the gift of the indwelling Holy Spirit to come. He's with us now to convict, to reveal, to guide us into truth, and to minister joy and peace in our hearts. And then in John 17, there is the glorious, personal, never-ending, never-failing intercessory ministry of our Lord Jesus, who is our great high priest. There's a mutual love of the Father and the Son in the disciples that is to be manifested. Just tremendous stuff. This is intensely personal. People that look at this as a sacrament miss the whole thing. We are not here today to appease an angry God. We are here in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the blood of the Lord Jesus, to draw near to God, to enjoy His presence, to enjoy the embrace of His life in our lives. Huh? And to hear His voice encouraging us and comforting us and strengthening us and helping us in the lives that we are living in troubled days. The days around us are troubled, and some of us in our own personal lives are going through very deep waters at this time. Would you turn in your hymn books, please, to hymn number 472. Hymn number 472. Precious and wonderful hymn. Hymn number 472. All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Just a tremendous hymn that declares the presence of the Lord Jesus in our lives, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, very wonderfully helping us as we move along in life. Hymn number 472. Have you found it? We'll sing all three stanzas. 472. Give us, please, the note, Miranda. All the way. Fellowship around a table that speaks of the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, His coming in flesh, His drawing us to Himself, His drawing us near to God. I had another song. I thought we might sing it, but you can't only sing so many songs. One of my favorite songs is, "There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us who wait before thee near to the heart of God. And it's not ours to find salvation here today. It's ours to draw near because of a salvation that is so perfect and so full and so complete. Huh? Wonderful. Such a salvation and such a God is this. And so our Lord Jesus instituted this ordinance with his disciples in the upper room. As they were celebrating the Passover, he took bread. He gave a special blessing on that bread. He broke it. He gave it to all of his disciples. Delbert, would you lead us, please, in a prayer of praise and thanksgiving for the body of our Lord Jesus given for us on the cross for our sins.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that Jesus was obedient to death. We thank you for the sacrifice of his body on the cross, Lord, that he was faithful to be obedient. And Lord, we just thank you for the salvation, for the atonement that we have through his sacrifice, Lord, if only we will accept this gift of eternal life. So, Lord, we do thank you for your love.
Reading from John 16, Jesus said, "Now I am going to him who sent me. None of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. And concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, that he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine, and therefore I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. A little while and you will no longer see me, and again a little while and you will see me. Truly, truly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will grieve, but your grief will be turned into joy. Whenever a woman is in labor, she has pain because her hour has come. But when she gives birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish because of the joy that a child has been born into the world. Therefore, you too have grief now, but I will see you again and your heart will rejoice. And no one will take your joy away from you. In that day you will not question me about anything. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask the Father for anything in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, so that your joy may be full. These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world." The more you think about Jesus Christ, the more wonderful he becomes. Jesus said, take, eat, this is my what? My body, my flesh. This is my body. It's given for you. It's very, very personal. Now we talk about drawing near, don't we, huh? Well, I'm giving this for you because if I didn't do this, you couldn't draw near to me. Now I'm doing this. Please, take advantage. Draw near to me, huh? This is my body given for you. Do this now in remembrance of me. Again, after the same manner also, he took the cup and gave also of it to his disciples. Brother Don Quiring, would you lead us, please, in a prayer of praise and thanksgiving for the precious shed blood of our Lord Jesus, by which the covenant of salvation is sealed, that cleanses us from sin, that gives us access, bold and complete access into the presence of God.
Lord, your love and God, and Heavenly Father, we come humbly and boldly to this celebration this morning. Father, for this ordinance that you have established, we should partake of it and celebrate it. Father, we just thank you for the completeness of it, Father, that you satisfy the requirements of the law. Father, that our sins would be covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, you paid the price on the cross. Father, for this we are so thankful that we celebrate the victory that you gave to each and every believer. Father, believes in you. Father, I just pray that you bless now this cup. Father, we partake. I just pray that you bless it, dear Father, to your honor, your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Reading from John's Gospel, chapter number 17. Jesus spoke these things, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have come to know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words which you gave me I have given to them, and they received them and truly understood that I came forth from you, and they believed that you sent me. I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but of those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all things that are mine are yours, and yours are mine. And I have been glorified in them. I am no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one, I in them, and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. Certainty, finality. It's wonderful. Any of you ever paid off a mortgage? Got the documents paid in full? Ever gotten that? Had that experience? Sometimes people do, not often in our society. You ever paid off a car? You get the papers, it's all paid. It's final. There's no more left. It's certain and it's final. And the debt of our sins, it's certain and it's final. This cup, Jesus said, is the new, what's the next word? Covenant, testament, covenant. unbreakable divine contract. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.